was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Welcome, my friend. No prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thank you very much for joining me. It is Sunday, approximately 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, April 13th, and we're going to be spending most of this evening on the telephone talking with our listeners, and I would suggest that if you have a question or you'd like to discuss something, then now would be the time to get to the phone. The phone number is 1-800, and as usual, I'm forgetting it, so we'll look it up unless my producer whispers it in my ear. It's 1-800-313-9443. My apologies for that, folks. I'm finding as I'm getting older that numbers and prescriptions, if I was still in practice, don't stick with me the way they used to. My apologies. But I suggest that if you wish to discuss something with a man whose memory is shot, then you can dial 800-313-9443, and perhaps we can hook up this evening and discuss your case or question that you have about anything having to do with commercial remedies. That said, just a couple of quick announcements before we get into the program. If you need a BIC competent or commercially competent notary, then may I suggest that you contact notarydepot@hush.com. I understand they usually respond pretty quickly, and they've been of great help to a number of people. And if you need a mentor, especially for educational purposes and foreclosure and collection situations, you could contact BICStudyClub@msn.com. And that's the email for the organization whose letter I read you, I believe, on last week's program that was so impressive in reaching out in a political sense to, I think it was a state senator. And if you want to hear more about that letter or how one might approach things, how one might expand the injustices from a political perspective, then you might want to download that program from the Republic Archives, which, by the way, are up and running again. And if you have a need for any seals at all, a great seal, a judicial seal, a notary seal, and you know what you're doing in that venue, then I suggest you might want to contact Daniel Ray at trustcore@gmail.com. That's trustcore, trustcore@gmail.com, and Daniel's phone number is 408-741-5500. And as usual, I would like to mention that, as you know, Eddie Kahn is in prison, and his wife, Cookie, is trying to keep things afloat for the two of them, and they're accepting donations made out, for instance, a money order made out to Cookie Kahn at P.O. Box 969, Tavares, Florida, 32778. That music, folks, means that we're going to take a brief break and then get into the body of the program. So I suggest that you pick up the phone and call in, and let's see if we can have some interesting discussions that usually develops. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Reports are coming in from all over North America about wild MPG.
My 97 Honda Civic went from just over 31 miles per gallon to over 50 miles per gallon.
My 98 Plymouth Breeze went from just over 38 miles per gallon to over 77 miles per gallon.
My 95 Ford F-150 went from 12.7 miles per gallon to 33 miles per gallon.
It's not a hybrid.
It's not an electric.
Wild MPG is an inexpensive modification that gives you incredible savings, a cleaner engine, better performance, more horsepower, less dependence on foreign oil, and better gas mileage.
Far better gas mileage.
Find out more at wildmpg.com.
Wild MPG means more money in your pocket.
The Wild MPG kit is absolutely guaranteed to increase your gas mileage by at least 50%, or the cost of the kit will be refunded to you. Visit wildmpg.com.
WildMPG.com.
Welcome to the revolution in fuel economy technology. WildMPG.com.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
Welcome back, friends. All right, we're going to go to the phones in just a minute. Before we do, we just had an inquiry. My producer was whispering in my ear about the retreat, and I know those of you who are attending are probably listening tonight, and those who are hoping to attend may be listening. So here's where we're at. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the retreat is already filled, and that's for April 24th through the 28th. And the hotel is filled as well, so we're porting to some overflow facilities next door and right nearby. That is, 5 days are not enough to do it. I'm looking at the list of materials. I'm actually looking at the actual files, the CD as it's forming that I'll be compiling usually the night before we're producing and running those off. And we worked heavily this week on some of the stage two processes. I'm looking at them right now, ones that you haven't seen before, state authentication, court directive, assignment of liability using the UCC, a default process in what we call round three of the tax remedies, where it's similar to the old three-day offer of immunity. Or was it a 10-day offer of immunity? There goes that memory again. We've had so many offers of immunity, I can't follow them all. But this is a way we have of using those tax remedies as leverage to merely have a public official fulfill his or her public responsibility, which is to post any payments they receive on account to the account, and not start trying to distinguish between, oh, red checks and blue checks, or negotiable instruments we like and negotiable instruments we don't like, based upon fraudulent releases and communications from certain departments that are trying to discourage the dissemination of information about public policy, their own law. Well, we have these laws, these statutes. Excuse me, anytime I use the word law with a small L. We have these statutes, but heavens, we don't want you to know too much about them, because then we'd have to change them and get rid of them, which is the direction it's heading, because so many people now know the remedies. We have tax remedy for a frivolous response letter, and tax remedies for additional taxation letters, and a global tax enforcement package, which really is a very, I won't comment too much about that on the air, but it really is a very interesting series of approaches using administrative remedies and criminal complaints and other things, involving all sorts of political de facto officials who need to step forward and make the system work properly. And then we have some political approaches and some orders and some other things. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. As to presentations, it's almost impossible in the context of this program to even begin to give you a clue as to the way things are laid out and the tools that will be available. But let's just very briefly go into the BIC N-Series folder. And within there, there are five subdirectories or subfolders. And by looking at the title, you know immediately which to look at for the purposes of your particular discussion. Folder number one is payment only, and that is the easiest, quickest way of making payment using a BIC negotiable instrument. Folder number two is pay using a letter rogatory as well as payment only. And within that folder, we have what's called the BIC turbo method, and that's mostly designed for agency situations. Very quick way of doing it. In folder three, we have court case options using BIC commercial presentation as well as tax remedies, and that includes BIC Turbo for court cases and BIC Suite, which is a very comprehensive approach, and a streamlined comprehensive approach that's relatively straightforward and easy to apply. In folder four, we have what's called court case SC. And I don't know until the meeting how heavily we're going to get into that, but that's, the SC stands for Sovereign Court. And there is a turbo and a suite version of the commercial remedies, in which we believe it is very possible to mix commerce and sovereignty. Because, and by commerce I don't mean credit cards and banks and all of the de facto takeovers, but I mean using the commercial remedies that are available as a sovereign living man or woman and child of God. We'll be going into a great deal of detail at that, on that subject at the meeting. And then the fifth folder is BIC Lien, which is a very extensive commercial lien process where greater leverage is needed, one might say. This is just touching the tip of the iceberg. The meeting is filled, and yet people are still sending in applications and inquiries. I may have mentioned in the past that we've made a decision to schedule another meeting. And we were looking at June, but I think it's probably going to be sometime in mid-July. And so what we've done is we have established a website. Excuse me. We have established an email address for brief inquiries about the next retreat. And all you have to do, if you're interested in attending and you don't want to be blocked out, as happened this time when all of the seats were gone within 3 to 4 weeks after we announced it, all you have to do is send an email with nothing in it. The subject line merely saying BIC retreat or law merchant retreat or the retreat. Just that, and we'll know that you want an application, or just a subject line that says please send application. And the email address to send that to is the next retreat, all one word, the next retreat at hush.com. Please do not send those inquiries to theretreat at hush.com, which is the site that we are using to manage the retreat that's coming in April. If you do send a query to that address, it will be wiped out because that account is just near its busting point. As some of you know, there were a couple of weeks you couldn't get a message into it. And so we want to keep that open for the attendees of that retreat. So if you would like to attend the next retreat, then all you have to do is send an email to the next retreat, one word, at hush.com. And by the way, if you sent in applications for the April retreat and it was beyond the space that was available, then I hope you receive from us a notice that those applications are automatically being ported over for review, first in line for the next retreat, if we scheduled one, and we have made the decision to schedule one, as I've said. So don't worry about those applications. They will be properly reviewed and ported, and you'll have a response beginning the final week in April or the first week in May. And that's the other thing I should mention. When you send in an inquiry to the next retreat at hush.com, folks, you do not have to send in a second inquiry a week or two later. Let me warn you right now, we won't even be taking a look at those inquiries until the final week in April and the first week in May, because we are flat out working as hard as we can to pull off the upcoming retreat. We have a large crowd. It's going to be tight in the room, and I'm working feverishly to prepare all the materials and the charts and everything else that we need. So, again, you can send in an inquiry to the next retreat at hush.com and then sit back and wait for an answer the first week in May. I promise you, you will receive the application the first week in May. No applications will be going out before the end of April or the first week in May for two reasons. Number one, then you would send us the application, and we have no way of reviewing that until this upcoming retreat is completed. And secondly, we don't have all of the information compiled to be able to complete an appropriate application with the dates of the meeting and facility and all of those things. It will probably be at a different facility than you've become accustomed to. So that said, at least the door is not closed on all those folks who wish to attend the retreat. My apologies that we could not accept everyone who wanted to come. And we will be going through the same rigorous screening process. And let me also remind you that the retreat is by invitation only. Applications are being reviewed by at least four reviewers. We use our network to track down people. And honesty is extremely important on these applications. Believe me, we've received numerous reports of being applications filled out to present a persona to fulfill what you think we expect. We've been alerted to those applications in advance. And so I suggest that you may want to fill out a candid application and then sit back and see if attendance is appropriate. If you don't have the skills to attend, we would recommend that you attend a future one if we hold one, because we don't want you obviously wasting your money and wasting your time and resources and travel and all of that. And my goodness, that discussion ate up this whole segment. My apologies to the people on the phone. I promise right when we come back, we will go to the phones. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Don't you go away.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, folks. Just one other comment. When you send in an inquiry to the next retreat at hush.com, as I said, you don't, if you don't hear from us for a few weeks, that's planned. You don't have to send another application, and you will know that you're at, you don't have to send another inquiry, and you will know and have confidence that your inquiry arrived because you'll receive the auto response, which means that it arrived at the email address and was logged in. If for some reason that account fills up quickly, then you would receive a bounce back message that the mail was undeliverable, and then try again. We will try to clear the inquiries out as quickly as we can. Also, there were a couple of cancellations. We received an email about that during the break. Yes, there have been a few cancellations, but they were filled off of the standby list. So there you go. My friends, let's go to the phones. Dave in Minnesota. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dr. Sam. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Maybe you can keep me awake. I'm tired.
wrong person.
Dave, my bones are aching, so make it a good one.
Okay. 1 month ago, I sent a promissory note to a judge to settle a credit card case. And just this past Friday, the first thing I heard from it was a letter from the court saying that they awarded the judgment to the plaintiff. So is there anything in the meantime that I can do to try and stop this, the garnishment, before the IRS kicks in action?
Yes, but I'm a little confused. You said before IRS kicks into action. Does that mean before IRS kicks into action on your behalf?
Yes.
You did some, I see. All right. So you didn't just send a promissory note. You included some other goodies with it.
Yes, the 1099.
Okay. Well, a couple of questions first before we can answer the question directly.
Mm-hmm.
Was this a BIC promissory note?
Yes.
And was it routed through some sort of anchoring instrument?
Yes, an offset bond and a private indemnity bond.
Okay, and how did you serve the note?
Through my notary.
And was it entered into the case, or was it done privately?
No, it was done privately.
All right, and you named the judge as the fiduciary?
Yes.
Yes. Did you name the clerk as a fiduciary?
No.
All right, and what was written in box, the recipient box, on the 1099 that you used?
The court's name.
The court's name.
Yes.
So what do you plan beyond that?
Issue a corrected 1099 with the judge's name.
Okay, did you give warning about that?
Yes, I did.
And they have called your bluff on the warning, so to speak.
Yeah.
All right, well, what I'm doing, I don't want to tell you specifically what to do in these circumstances, but what I'm doing in situations like that is I am turning around and issuing another process, which would involve a copy of the corrected 10, of another corrected or revised corrected 1099, indicating that the funds have been misappropriated and therefore the funds are being charged to the particular the fiduciary that was responsible in their personal capacity. So that's one thing that we're filing to try and make the point that you had better enter this on the books or you're going to be held liable for it.
All right.
But there are many, many other things that can be done. Do you have, are you working with a mentor on this?
No.
How did you secure the materials?
Boy, back in November, December. I'm part of the, we have a group here in Minnesota.
Okay. Is this a common law venue?
Yes.
All right. So are you working with people who know what the enforcement strategies are?
Yes, I do. But I would like to know if there's a quick way to get this done.
Do you personally know of any enforcement strategies?
Beyond the corrected 1099, no, I don't.
All right. Well, why don't we start there? The first thing, Dave, is that I really suggest to people that they do not undertake these processes unless they have the end game worked out in their head. And I don't mean that to be judgmental, but I mean that for people's own protection, because they can wind up with difficulties
mm-hmm.
and not really know how to go. It would almost be like the King of England deciding to invade France and loading his troops up in the boat and then deciding to inventory whether they have enough swords and crossbows and everything else to do the job. So the importance of having a strategy in advance, I think, really cannot be overstated. I don't know about a quick way, but I do know that if one is determined, there are many ways to turn up the heat and increase the dose of castor oil. And we'll review a few of those when we come back. Folks, at Music Means, we're going to a quick break. Please stick with us, and we'll approach the enforcement strategies right after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Welcome back, friends. We're talking to Dave in Minnesota about how one might follow up a dishonored instrument in a judicial case. And the criteria that Dave laid out here was that he was seeking a quick remedy. So, are there things that can be done? Well, only about 100, but one has to decide in advance if one has the stomach for them, has the experience for them, the skills to apply them, the knowledge, and the fortitude. I can think of many, many things. The first off would be accepting the judgment for value and sending it back with an additional instrument or a money order payable to Treasury and a 1099, and I would, if it was me, I would probably ding that judgment for at least one more zero than the original amount on the first promissory note. So if I had put in a $100,000 promissory note, the next one might be $1 million or it might be $10 million, depending on how I was feeling that day and what section of scripture I decided to follow. And that would help deliver the message that we're coming for you. Keep in mind, folks, that it takes a while for this knowledge to spread. I was discussing this with a friend of mine a day or two ago. We've seen entire judicial sections, and not just one. We've seen entire judicial sections disappear after liquidation. Literally, mass resignations, mass refusals to run for office again, entire parts that are no longer functioning. There are many things happening around the country, but it takes a while for the message to spread because the message is always going to be duplicitous even amongst themselves. They will still talk in terms of, oh, those crazy patriots, those constitutionalists, and they will literally deny themselves the knowledge of what's happening to them because to face the reality is really to face the bankruptcy of one's own moral character if they were to continue beyond the point of disclosure. I'll give you an example. I was reading Time magazine this week, and I think it was a few weeks old. I don't know how it happened across my path. And there was an article in there on the collapse of the financial markets and the credit crisis and the foreclosure crisis. And there was a quote in there that said, let me see if I can find it here a minute. Bingo. Economist Milton Friedman argued and eventually convinced most of his colleagues that it was the Fed's failure to keep enough dollars in circulation that made the Great Depression such a great disaster. That's what the public does with knowledge. And it went on to say, the money supply is a blunt instrument, one that comes nowhere near addressing all of today's problems. It makes the point that the Federal Reserve Bank's greatest power is the power to put money in circulation, and it says that it puts money in circulation by printing the money and then buying treasury securities with it, buying T-bills with it. And to the reader, in fact, to the authors of the article, that sounds perfectly legitimate. They put money into the United States, when the real translation is the United States borrows all that money back, as we all know. So if they spent 4.6 cents per bill and they printed 10 million bills, they're paying a fraction of that, maybe $40,000, $50,000 to print the bills, and of course the Fed's the U.S. is borrowing that back at the face value of the bill, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, plus interest. So that delusion exists at every level of the society. Lawyers have no idea what their function is to really act as vanguard for protecting the elite set of bar association members. And many judges have no idea of what is happening around them, and they need to experience it. So quick is not always easy to do and may require some real intestinal fortitude. But once a judicial section has been taken apart, let me tell you, when you walk into that same clerk's office the next time, and I've had numerous people tell this to me, they act like they are an abject fear of you. They treat you with respect. They call you sir. They know darn well that you are not some to be trifled with. And unfortunately, along the way, there are casualties getting to that point. So I suggest you do not undertake this unless you want to be on the vanguard of commercial remedies and changing the way the United States does business. But if you want quick, then one method that I've experienced myself that I sort of enjoy is lying in wait at the end of the day, the end of business that day. If it's a night court, 9 o'clock at night. If it's a day court, maybe 4, 4:30. Wait until the courtroom's empty. You know what happens right at that point, Dave?
No.
The judge looks at whoever is left in the courtroom after all the cases have been called, and he points to each person and says, do you have any business with the court? And so what we have done in the past is to spread out and seed the courtroom with various people who know what's happening. Comes to the first one. Do you have any business with the court? No, sir, I'm here as an observer. Do you have any business with the court, sir? No, I'm here as an observer. And finally, someone steps forward and he says, actually, I have some business with the court. I have this criminal complaint that I need to file against one of the judges for a confession of misappropriation of funds. Would I be able to file that with you? Now, I don't know. The reason I asked the questions about what submission or presentation practices you used is to find out what kind of preparation you put into it. If you've used, did you use something called Schedule D? Schedule of Default Confessions, Stipulations, and Admissions?
No.
All right. So you've lost some of the leverage that you might have had. Had an instrument like that been part of the package. Now, may I suggest if someone is really an authentic law merchant and undergoing a process like that, they could compose something. Right off the top of my head, we could compose a document that says, Confession of Misappropriation of Funds in 18-point type, right at the top, a one-page presentation letter attached to a confession of misappropriation of funds. Dear Mr. Jones, in fact, this could be done in a case like yours. Dear sir, please find the adjusted 1099 OID report of your personal liability in the amount of $5 million or whatever the last note was, made this day to the Internal Revenue Service per the disclosure that was in my letter of whenever the original presentment was. Out of the goodness of my heart as a Christian, I'd like to give you a 3-day offer of immunity. There comes the old offer of immunity back that we used to use. And I am attaching a confession of misappropriation of funds in the amount of $5 million that will be attached to a criminal complaint and filed pursuant to the notary certification on such and such a date that funds last seen in your possession have disappeared. If we do not hear from you in 3 days, the notary will certify your stipulation to the confession of misappropriation of funds. Have a nice day. That's just off the top of my head, but if it was me, I might walk into the back of that courtroom the day after that confession of misappropriation of funds is signed by tacit agreement and say, yeah, I have some business with this court. You have a judge on your bench who has confessed in writing to misappropriation of funds. I need to see the chief judge right now. And here's a criminal complaint that we're going to be marching across the hall and filing unless something is done about this this insurrection against justice. So there's something that might have a possibility to work quickly, but one has to, of course, decide, Dave, if that's the way they would like to approach something like that. Mm-hmm. Would you feel comfortable doing something like
that? I sure would.
Well, then you make a decision like that based upon a risk evaluation and what's at stake and how strongly you believe in yourself and in your faith in the Lord. And you have at it. But I caution you, you need to own the technology, of course, before you do anything like that. And let me say this. I applaud and commend the courage that I see in people every day, the reports that I receive, and the fortitude that people show in facing down this 1,000-pound gorilla, the United States Federal Corporation, de facto out of all reasonable control. So there's one idea that one might use. If one has a little less intestinal fortitude, I guess for lack of a better word, then one might approach it through their system. And the way I might do that quickly is to file a collateral action somewhere. It could be in small claims court. It could be in the Supreme Court or the Superior Court of that state. I don't exactly remember how Minnesota is organized. It could be in a federal court. But certainly a small claims action is very possible because you walk into the small claims court and you say, I need to file this action. They'll ask you the name of the defendant. You give them the fiduciary's name. And you say, by the way, I need a couple of subpoenas for reluctant witnesses and ask the clerk to sign them. And subpoenas are conveyed. Now you have a court-ordered subpoena in your hand. I'm not saying they won't try to quash it, but it's a start. And that can be a subpoena, deuces tecum, in which you're listing the records of the court that you so desire to have brought into this venue. And that can be done in a higher court, a collateral court, a lower court. One can use notary subpoena or put together a tribunal. We just had an interesting discussion on tribunals. In fact, a few of them this week. Tribunals have a great place in history. As a friend of mine pointed out, Nuremberg consisted of three countries in tribunal. We know that military tribunals consist of three hearing officers. And appellate divisions usually have three officers, a three-member panel of notaries who issue a subpoena, bringing the weight of their seals and commissions to bear to have them answer questions. You could file a pleading into the case. I'm not big on pleadings anymore. Lord knows I've written hundreds of them. But it could be a very simple pleading that names the judge as a third-party defendant in the case, fully expecting that he's going to dishonor it. You could request that that case be reopened and at the same time request a subpoena. You might catch the clerk in the same case on a good day and say, here, we're putting in a motion to reconsider, and by the way, I'm going to need a subpoena to bring a witness in that we forgot to bring during the default stage of this. And at that point, you can subpoena the judge into the case or subpoena the clerk into the case or others as well and name them as a third-party defendant. Now, they'll ignore many of those things. That's fine. You take a copy of the petition for naming the judge as a third-party defendant, and you use the political letter that I read on air last week or a variation of it. I've already done half a dozen variants of that for various cases. And you send it on to the chief judge, to the congressman for that section, to the senator, to the state senator, depending upon venue, and that's probably in a state court, and to politicians and commissioners. A judge who has been named as a defendant in his own case refuses to step down and is sitting in trial of his own defense where he's named as a defendant. It's outrageous. Immediate disbarment. So you can bring it into perspective that way. You can give an order to the court if you have experience in conducting a sovereign court. I've seen people do that without experience. I know of at least four people who have given orders or combated courts without seals, without knowledge, who simply said, I will not take this. You'll have to kill me to have your order stand. Again, that depends on who you are and just, you know, how much you're willing to accept. I've seen people facing years in prison who simply roll over and accept it. They at that point, they're so intimidated, they figure the risks are less of a longer sentence, not realizing that if you do not sign and you do not accede to that jurisdiction and that venue, and you're willing to go to the mat for it, there's nothing they can do. And that's why we've had a number of cases simply not prosecuted, even at the federal level, when we've gone into full-blown comprehensive administrative remedy and then used the rescission package to rescind all signatures on the appearance bonds and to provide them notice of the successor surety. However, we're moving to more powerful technologies, I believe, because now we're actually surrendering the surety. How do you do that? Well, you didn't use a confession of judgment in your packet, did you?
No.
And that's not criticism. Hey, this is not a criminal matter. You're learning from it. You're gaining valuable experience. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it as one of God's lesson plans for you, you'll understand just how blessed you probably are from this situation. You know, there are a lot harder lessons than the loss of money that many people have suffered as trying to live as patriots. But I lost my train of thought on that particular technology. Where was I on that, Dave?
About filing the collateral action.
Oh, okay, you have a you didn't have a confession of judgment.
No.
Well, I did lose my train of thought. My apologies, folks. But just from what I'm saying here, we were talking about an order. If I had a confession of judgment and I wanted to surrender the surety in a criminal or a civil case, and you now have a surety for the defendant, don't you? You have someone who's been confessed by a notary to holding the liability. Is that correct?
Yes.
You sound hesitant on that. Do you know what I mean by that?
I couldn't hear.
Okay. You now have a surety, a successor surety, to yourself for the defendant. Is that not correct?
The judge, right.
Yeah. So, when we come back after the break, let's explore how we might use that information and how we might surrender the surety in an even more powerful way than we've done in the past. Folks, please don't go away. Dave, stick with us if you don't mind. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Welcome back, my friend. This is just getting interesting. Dave, I don't know how much commercial experience you have and how much other experience you have, so some of these things may or may not be appropriate. Normally, I would inquire that from someone. But I'll tell you this. Ideas are popping into my head as we speak. For instance, if you've ever received a letter inviting you to present yourself for arrest because a warrant's been issued, sometimes they give you 10 days to report, so you don't have the embarrassment of having us come to your office or your home, you know, the typical U.S. BS. Well, it sounds to me like that could work any other way. If your notary process includes a confession of misappropriation of funds, then perhaps the follow-up letter could say something like, Dear such and such, attached here too, please find a warrant for the arrest of the bond of the surety, of the confessed surety in case number such and such. This warrant has been executed but will be held in abeyance for 3 days pending quashing of all judgments adverse to the defendant. In the absence of such quashing, the warrant will be issued to the appropriate authorities and the surety will be surrendered by way of the arrest. Have a nice day. And that's not for everyone to do, but it is certainly an idea that would make the point. And by the way, my associates are in possession of the original warrants in the event something should happen to me.
Sam, is that what that Schedule B was you talked about earlier, the confession of judgment?
No, the Schedule D is an item known as default. The D comes from default. That's the only way I remember it. Heck, I'm a guy who can't remember generic medications, and I have a prescription pad. Default, confessions, stipulations, and admissions. And it's a two-page document with a whole list of things you can pick from that they've confessed to. But if I were in a case like this, I'd make it real simple. Confession of misappropriation of funds. In the event you fail to respond to this sworn affidavit of one paragraph, you will be confessing to misappropriation of funds upon the notary's certifying that you failed to respond and deny. Default judgment, confession, call it what you will. And I would take that, attach it to the notary certificate, probably get a state certification on it, file it in the county, pull it out, and attach it as the affidavit of probable cause to a warrant for the arrest, and then I'd attach my own affidavit to that warrant as a living man. Now I have two witnesses who witnessed the crime, myself and the notary, and a third, the confessed surety. Now take that and deliver it to the marshals, the sheriffs, the mayor, the police, whomever, and say, here's a warrant for the arrest of this rogue judge's bond. What are you going to do about it? I can't tell you what will happen, but I can almost guarantee that judge will have seen his last day on the bench. I hear some music in the background, my friends. So that means we're heading to the end of the first hour. Dave, I hope that gave you at least some framework from which to consider. Be very careful, Dave. Don't get yourself into trouble over a credit card dispute, okay?
Yes, will do. Thank you so much, Sam.
You're very welcome, Dave. Nice talking with you. Folks,
good
we'll
night.
Be back after a one-minute station identification for more action on the phones, and we'll see where it leads. You never really know, do you? You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Don't.